From Spark and Anvil and ReadQuest, this is Vista, in Chapter 1 of the ReadQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The next afternoon, a young student named Pip climbed the steep wooden stairs to the high lookout. She threw her heavy leather-bound book onto the wooden table with a loud, frustrated thud. "I read the entire chapter about the sea," Pip grumbled, kicking a loose pebble across the floor. "But absolutely none of it stuck in my head. The words just slid across my eyes like cold rainwater on a windowpane." Vista leaned forward, her long, deer-like ears twitching slightly in the mountain breeze. "Did you picture any of the action while you were reading?" she asked gently. Pip frowned and crossed her arms. "Why would I do that?" she asked, looking thoroughly confused. "I was too busy trying to pronounce all the difficult words on the page." Vista smiled gently and slid the heavy book toward herself. "Close your eyes for a moment," Vista instructed. "Just listen to my voice and let your mind do the work." Pip sighed dramatically, but she squeezed her eyes shut anyway. Vista read a single line from the open page, her voice slow and remarkably steady. "The old fisherman pushed his small red boat onto the gray morning sea." She let the words hang in the quiet air for a long moment. "Now," Vista said softly, leaning closer, "what do you see out there?" Pip kept her eyes tightly closed, her brow furrowing in deep concentration. "Nothing," she said at first, her voice hesitant. "Just blackness behind my eyelids." "Look a little closer," Vista urged. "What color is the boat in your mind?" "Red," Pip said, her voice dropping to a whisper. "It is a bright, peeling red, and the wood looks old." "And the morning?" Vista asked, her voice encouraging. "Is the morning warm or cold?" "No," Pip whispered, shivering slightly as she spoke. "It is foggy and cold, and the air is thick. I can feel the damp, cold air on my cheeks. I can smell the salty seaweed rotting on the wet, dark sand." Pip suddenly opened her eyes, looking thoroughly startled. She stared down at the open book as if the fisherman might actually jump out of the pages. "I can see it now," she said, her voice filled with sudden wonder. "I think I will actually remember what happens this time." "You made the movie," Vista said, her large eyes shining with delight. "That is the simple secret that keeps a story inside your head."
Marjan had been watching from the doorway, a pleased smile spreading across her weathered face. "You have shown her the bridge," Marjan said, stepping into the sunlit room with a soft rustle of her robes. Many readers only decode the letters, but they never actually cross over into the world itself. "It is a simple thing, really," Vista said, smoothing her skirt with a gentle hand. "As you read, you must actively build the picture in your mind. If you only sound out the words, you are just looking at the signposts along the road. You have to actually walk down the path to see where it leads." She looked out over the golden hills, thinking about the way her own mind worked. "The best part is that everyone's movie is slightly different," Vista added. "When the book says a cozy kitchen, I always picture my grandmother's warm stone hearth. But Pip might picture a bright room with yellow curtains and a wooden table. Both of us are entirely right in our own ways. The writer gives us the words, but we must supply the pictures. We finish the story together, like two partners working on a painting."
Marjan nodded slowly, her mind already forming a plan for the academy. "Our young readers at the academy are struggling with their lessons," she said. "They can read every word perfectly, but they remember absolutely nothing by the next page. Will you come down from the lookout and teach them your wonderful method?" Vista hesitated, looking out at her quiet forest, but then she smiled and nodded. "I will try my best," she said softly, looking down at her hands. The next morning, Vista stood before a classroom of tired-looking children at the academy. Their wooden desks were piled high with heavy, dusty volumes of history. They looked at the books as if they were piles of heavy stones to be moved across a field. "We are going to play a game today," Vista announced, her voice echoing in the quiet room. She had them open a book about a great desert expedition across the burning sands. "Do not just read the words on the page," she told them. "Let the pictures come to you naturally as the words flow. Pause on a good description and really try to see it. Feel the hot desert sun beating down on your neck. Listen to the dry sand crunching loudly under your heavy boots." One boy, who usually fell asleep during reading time, suddenly sat up straight in his chair. His eyes darted back and forth across the page with sudden interest. "I can see the camels," he whispered excitedly to his neighbor. "They look really grumpy and tired from the heat." By the end of the hour, the classroom was filled with excited, noisy chatter. The children were not just repeating the dry facts they had read. They were describing the shape of the dunes and the flat taste of the warm water. "You watched it happen in your mind," Vista told the sleepy boy. "Now the story belongs to you forever, and no one can take it away."
That evening, Vista sat back at her high lookout, watching the sun dip slowly below the ridge. The real hills below her were turning a deep, glowing gold in the twilight. For a long time, Vista had worried about her quiet, dreamy habits. She had wondered if her tendency to drift into pictures meant she was simply being lazy. The other creatures in the forest were always so precise and fast with their work. They tracked every exact word and never paused to dream or look around. She had feared she was not a proper reader at all, just a daydreamer. But watching the shadows stretch across the valley, she finally understood the truth of her gift. Making the movie was not daydreaming at all, but rather a form of creation. Instead, it was the deepest, most respectful kind of attention you could pay to a writer. The dreamers were not drifting away from the pages of the book. They were diving all the way to the very bottom of the pool. A warm, quiet contentment settled over her, soft as the fading evening light. She was not missing the story in front of her eyes. She was living completely inside of it, wrapped in the words. She watched the golden hills fade into twilight, already painting them into a vivid picture she would keep.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Vista. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.